Welcome to Bladder Buzz, the podcast where doctors, researchers, and consumers discuss bladder health and function for those with neurogenic bladder. On today's episode, we welcome Dr. Mandy Rounds and Melissa Kramer to discuss Melissa's company, Live UTI Free. And now, Bladder Buzz.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mandy Rounds, a research scientist at MedStar National Rehabilitation Hospital and MedStar Health Research Institute. I currently work with people with neurological injuries and disease such as spinal cord injury, multiple sclerosis, stroke, and spina bifida. When these injuries or diseases occur, it may also impact one's bladder and result in urinary tract infections or UTIs. However, UTIs are common even without neurological causes, and that's what we'll be discussing today. Joining me today is Melissa Kramer, who is a PhD candidate at the University of Reading in the UK and the founder and CEO of Live UTI Free, which is a patient research and advocacy organization with a global community. Melissa has experienced recurrent and chronic UTI as well as endometriosis and was compelled to launch a patient-centered organization to make change in women's health. The Live UTI Free team provides recruitment support for clinical trials and other research, as well as conducting their own research in the UTI space. Thanks for joining me today, Melissa.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
I really want to know about your own experience with chronic UTIs and how it's shaped the work you're doing with Live UTI Free and your independent research. So if you could tell us more about that.
Sure. So my experience started in 2012 when I had a UTI for, it wasn't the first time, but it was the beginning of my chronic UTI experience. So I got a single UTI and it seemed to be treated sufficiently with antibiotics. But then a couple of months later, I got another one. And then every few months, I started to experience UTIs and having to take antibiotics. As a result of all the antibiotics, I also started to have issues with candida. So I was either experiencing a UTI or a yeast infection or both. And eventually my symptoms became continuous and there wasn't a day where I was symptom free. So at that time, the concept of chronic UTI symptoms was unfamiliar to the clinicians I spoke with, but we've since found out via our own research that around 13% of patients, or at least those who responded to our surveys, also report continuous UTI symptoms. So that's something that we've investigated further in our work. But while I was going through this, I had a lot of difficulty finding information beyond the standard offering. And although I sought the opinion of clinicians in multiple countries, I didn't find one that was able to help. And on top of that, my UTI tests were often negative or inconclusive, in that they showed leukocytes or low levels of bacteria, but nothing specific was pinpointed. And that was another issue that at the time I couldn't find more information on. Some of my doctors suspected the tests weren't picking up what was causing the infection, but no one seemed to understand the limitations that standard urine culture has. And eventually I found a way forward and some support from a clinician, and I was able to recover over the course of about a year, but it took a long time. And by that stage, I was so frustrated by the lack of information and the difficulty of finding support that I decided to try and help others to navigate that same journey. And in interviewing other women about this, I realized the scale of the problem is just huge and that there was an opportunity to do something about it. So in 2017, we launched Live UTI Free. And since then, our team has grown to include some amazing advisors, some research associates, and more content managers. And so when I launched in 2017, I had no idea how the scale of this problem. And at the same, while we want to grow, it's also been really disheartening to see how many people suffer from these issues.
Wow, yeah, that's super frustrating and definitely something we've heard along the way as well in our neurogenic bladder group. So tell me more of how does Live UTI Free provide support to patients with current and chronic UTIs?
Our first goal is always to provide free, evidence-based, accessible information for patients. And we do that in a number of ways. We have in-depth articles on our website across multiple topics. And we also launched a YouTube channel last year where we share practical how-dos and we interview experts. And that allows us to discuss research that may not have made it through to guidelines yet. And that's really important for this community that hasn't been able to find the information that can help them recover. And we have free downloadable resources for patients to share with their clinicians and to help them prepare for appointments. And then on top of that, we have a network of clinicians who have been recommended by other patients or clinicians. And we share that information for free as well when people reach out. Of course, you can also find us on socials. And we've recently translated our website into French, and we have a French Instagram account. So we're trying to expand into other languages and hoping that Spanish will be the next one. And something that we've recently implemented is also recruitment support for clinical trials. And that allows us to connect our audience with research that might benefit them or benefit the wider UTI community.
That's great. And I'll definitely ask you afterwards to provide some of those links for us to put in this description for sure. So what prompted you to collaborate with other researchers in this realm?
One of the first things that we implemented when we launched the site was this UTI quiz, and that allows us to learn more about our community, but it also allowed us to point people to the right information. And we're currently on the fourth version of this quiz, and we've collected more than 70,000 responses. And that's not only provided us insights into the patient experience, but it also helped us realize just how many questions patients have. And there are more questions than we have answers for. And in many cases, this is because the research just hasn't been done yet. So in order to help change this, we started to work with researchers, first at the universities of Reading and Buckingham in the UK. We brought master's students onto our team, and those master's students are now PhD candidates who have become our research associates. And then we've started to collaborate with other researchers in the US and in the UK. And we support other researchers with our patient insights because it really allows us to have a bigger impact that way. And we do support researchers in a number of ways. We can provide input on protocol and questionnaire design. We can provide recruitment or lead public and patient involvement. And we can also just provide general feedback. Like just this week, for instance, we've helped recruit for patient advisory panels in three different countries.
Wow. So let's talk a little bit more about that support in the form of recruitment. What does that look like?
So we got into recruitment because we noticed that our patient community is incredibly interested in participating in research, and they're so enthusiastic about contributing to our research. But at the same time, we also noticed that there's a disconnect between the trials and the patients. So the patients don't necessarily know how to find relevant trials, and researchers often don't know how to find relevant participants. So we started with small-scale recruitment for qualitative research. But more recently, we've started to recruit for large multi-region clinical trials. And we can do that because we have so many channels to connect with our community, and we're able to reach potential participants in ways that researchers can't. And it's been so great to see our community's engagement around these clinical trials. And just recently, I mentioned the PhD, or you mentioned my PhD. I'm actually doing that on the theme of patient recruitment and why so many clinical trials fail due to failure to recruit enough participants. So over the next few years, as we work with our recruitment partners, I'll be analyzing community engagement to better understand how to best reach potential participants. And our hope is that we'll then be able to provide recommendations to other researchers so they can use that in the future for their own recruitment.
Yeah, I know definitely recruitment is one of the hardest things in our clinical trials. And what we've noticed, at least on our team, is incorporating the patients into the research, right? Mm-hmm. As making it a collaboration instead of like, yay, you do this. That's fantastic that you're making that part of your PhD, because it's definitely needed. And yeah, I feel like it's more cutting edge as well.
I hope so. I hope it will make a difference.
Oh, it definitely will. So let's talk a little bit more about your research and the types of research your team is involved in and upcoming research in the UTI space as well.
So there's quite a lot going on. And I mentioned the quiz that we've had running for the last 5 years. And we had so many responses to that we wanted to analyze those to see where research gaps existed and what we could do based on that. So my research associate, Kaylee Maxwell, analyze all of that data, including qualitative responses. And I'm hoping by the time this podcast is published that her paper on the psychosocial burden of recurrent UTI will be published. So her work was the foundation of what we've done more recently, which was to develop and publish two recurrent UTI patient-reported outcome measures, or PROMs. And these are the first PROMs for recurrent UTI, and which is a pretty big deal. In addition to that, we've just completed recruitment for an antibiotic trial, which is the first new antibiotic for UTI in decades. And we were really pleased to see that study close early recently because of success. a successful outcome, which is quite exciting for our community. And now we're launching our own urinary microbiome study with Alan Wolf and his team at Loyola University. And this study is really exciting for us as it will be the first study of its kind, in that it is a large-scale study that will compare the urinary microbiome in females who do and do not experience recurrent and chronic UTI. And as I'm sure you're aware, the urinary microbiome was not included in the human microbiome project. So we have a bit of catching up to do with that. And we're aiming to recruit 1,015 participants from the US in total. And that will include people who don't experience urinary symptoms and people that do. And a third group who we will follow for 40 days, and they will collect a sample on each one of those days so that we can look at changes in the microbiome over that time. And so we're hoping to be able to draw associations between the symptoms that patients report and what we find in their samples. And then ultimately, we hope that this study will vastly improve the understanding of the urinary microbiome, and that will have an impact on the future of UTI testing as well as diagnosis and treatment.
Yeah, and I mean, shout out to Dr. Wolf. He actually was on this podcast as well, talking about urobiome. So he's definitely a great resource to bring in on your study. So for those that don't know, I do want to say recurrent UTI PROMS is patient-reported outcome measures. So can you share a little bit more about those two PROMS your team has developed and the areas of patient experience that they cover?
Sure. So as I mentioned, we've been collecting patient experience insight for a number of years, and our research associate, Abby Newlands, was able to use all of that as the basis for these PROMs. So the first is called the Recurrent Urinary Tract Infection Symptom Scale, or RUTIS, which it documents patient symptoms as well as their level of pain or discomfort. And this was recently published in BJUI Compass, so people can access this online now. And the second is the Recurrent Urinary Tract Infection Impact Questionnaire, or RUTIC, which assesses the impact on patients' quality of life, including personal well-being, social impact, sexual impact, and impact on daily work or activities. And it also covers how patients feel about their UTI-related medical care. And this one's also been accepted by the Quality of Life Research Journal, so I hope it will be published by the time this podcast goes live. And the two PROMs will allow researchers and clinicians to better document changes in patient experience before and after medical interventions or just over time. Abby worked with a clinician expert panel across multiple countries to develop these, and she interviewed dozens of patients throughout the process. And we're really happy to see that these have been picked up for publication, as I think they will make a really big difference.
That's fantastic. So let's wrap up with how patients can get involved in UTI research and how researchers can connect with your team.
Sure. Well, clinical trials are a huge area of interest for our community. So we work with pharma as well as product developers and biotech companies to help recruit participants for active trials. And we're also really big on patient and public involvement, which is like what you said. It's really important to get patients involved from the beginning of the planning process. So we find that patients in our community, they're super well informed, and we can help recruit for those types of panels. And we actually launched our own patient advisory committee recently, and that has allowed us to interact with some of our most engaged community members. And on those calls, we can discuss questions posed by external researchers or even have the researchers as guests on the calls, so they can directly converse with our patient advisory committee and get immediate feedback. For patients, we share regular updates via our email lists and on our socials, so they can find out more about trials they can participate in there. And we have a dedicated mailing list for that, as well as a product education list if they'd like to learn more about the evidence around certain products. And so I encourage anyone that's interested to reach out, find us on Instagram or visit our website, or you can send us an email at team@liveutifree.com. We'd love to hear from patients as well as researchers and anyone that would like to connect.
Thank you so much, Melissa. And for everyone out there listening, we'll make sure to post these links in the description. That way you can contact them if you have any further questions. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Bladder Buzz is presented by the Rehabilitation Research and Training Center on Neurogenic Lower Urinary Tract Dysfunction. The information presented in this podcast does not express the views of the individual's employer or affiliated institutions. The content is for informational and reference purposes only and should not be used as a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, or as the sole source of guidance for decision-making. We advise you to always consult with a physician before making any healthcare decisions or for guidance about a specific medical condition. Thanks for listening. Come back soon.